Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Matchball 30, sponsored by Calidus, leading consultants in health and safety, project management, asset management, environmental services and training. Visit wearecalidus.com for more information.
The Matchball.
The Matchball 30 is a game-by-game journey through the 1991-1992 season, 30 years on. Dan, Michael and Mosco with you on that journey, and we have to quickly go back to the events of last weekend. Of course, we had the famous victory against Villa on the TV. Turned out that Freddie Mercury died that evening, which was shocking news at the age of just 45. The news broke on Monday morning. Back to Elm Road this time, though. We're facing Everton, concentrating on the football. And can we go top of the league again? That's the question.
Top of the charts. It's where I'm aiming for.
And presumably we're going to have some Queen songs at number one in the coming weeks. At the minute, it's Michael Jackson, still Black or White with that brilliant video. But what are you bringing to the table that's going to usurp any of that?
I mean, it's the Hot Shots.
Oh, yeah.
This was
great bunch of lads.
Well, I mean, we'll come on to the game in a minute. It was played before the game through the famously brilliant PA system at Elm Road. Mm-hmm. But we've got some of the audio to give you on the podcast now so you can hear it crystal clear.
Well, I'm just looking at the cover because we've got the cover here in front of us, because we've just pulled the vinyl out of it that we're about to play, obviously, for you. Is this the dance mix that we're hearing? Is it extended? Is it the club thing, the sort of thing they're going to be playing in the warehouse in Leeds?
I mean, it's all a dance mix.
Yeah.
You can dance to all of it.
Yeah,
it's a great production. You can see we've got Gary Mack, John Newsome, Chris White, Gary Speed, Chris Fairclough and Steve Hodge and Gordon Strachan there right in the middle.
And there's very much a kind of a Band-Aid photo in the studio, all the headphones on vibe about this. Steve Hodge in the foreground with his Umbro jumper on, so he's probably come straight from training to do this.
I think McAllister's probably come straight from training as well, but being Gary McAllister has got changed in the meantime. He's wearing a very natty mustard coloured jumper, designer jeans that I bet he's got from Accent, and those brown shoes that he's got look pretty smart as well. He'll have spent a pretty penny on them. He always likes to be very well dressed, Gary McAllister, so he's not going to be turning up to a pop video in an Umbro sweater or the Adidas equipment sweatshirt that Gordon Strachan, sponsored by Adidas, is
tucked into his jeans, no less, Mosco.
You see as well, I think Gary Mack probably despaired when he saw Strachan turning up looking like that. So that's why he's made sure to stand the other side of the fella in the waistcoat that he's made out of his mum's curtains.
he's not on this photo either, but we have seen a video for this as well, which does involve David Batty playing a guitar on the Elm Road pitch. I mean, I'll say playing, holding a guitar on the Elm Road pitch along with Gary Mack and Gary Speed. So, it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing for them to do. They don't want to be taking it too seriously.
Right. Anyway, should we hear it? Because I think we've delayed this and we've built it up long enough. Should we unleash this gold? Audio gold?
So here we go again. We're matching on together. We're marching on together again.
Mark Knopfler's going to be quaking in his boots when he hears it.
Howard, please deliver this line for us.
I think that is Howard's line. He's got. He's just. That's him. They've played it to him, and he's gone. Fucking hell. Very, very dry sense of humour, Howard, hasn't he? So I think he's delivered a fair assessment there.
Do you think that's going to trouble the top of the charts?
Unlikely, I would say.
I mean, going back to like 1972, Leeds, Leeds, Leeds did well in the hit parade, didn't it? And that was hard then.
Are you suggesting in another 25 years' time we're going to be coming out to this? This is going to be our official...
I'm just saying, don't rule it out.
I kind of am ruling it out.
Okay.
I think it's fine for now.
Mm. Well, they say video killed the radio star. We don't need to worry about the music side of things. It's the telly that's going to be our undoing, isn't it? Ray Fell's been talking about the TV companies, you know, because we were on telly against Villa last week, obviously destroyed them. It was brilliant to demonstrate our power and worth to the nation, and Ray's not happy.
No, I mean, it's all happening on Sundays, isn't it? Sunday trading, that's coming in. Shops opening on Sundays.
What?
I know, that's happening as well. It's some sort of Christmas thing they're bringing in.
Okay.
Don't know when I'm going to get time to go to church now. I'm going to go Sainsbury's in the morning. A Safeway, actually, is where I tend to go. Woolworths, and then BHS. What else is there? HMV, that's still a popular shop, isn't it?
Yep.
And then onto the football in
but
the
you
afternoon.
Could buy, here we go again, what was it called?
Yes.
Here we go again.
Here we go again.
Buy that in HMV.
You could, maybe.
Maybe the one in Leeds. Just
if they
that
sell
one.
It. Yeah. But yeah, Ray Fell is warning us about the power that the TV presence generates, and he sincerely hopes the football authorities have the strength to defend our traditional right.
Especially with this Super League thing coming next year.
Well, exactly.
What's that going to be like?
To watch football at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoons. But I mean, it's only the odd game. It's not going to get out. I can't see it getting out of hand.
Well, you say that. But he was right to worry because another game has been moved for TV. Sick of it.
Well, it's only another game. It's not too bad, is it?
Well, it's Man United at home. That's been shifted to Sunday, the 29th of December at 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock on a Sunday.
It's not a time that screams football to me.
No, not every bloody week. Sick of it.
I mean, they're normally at 2:55, which is on a Sunday, which is a far more sensible time to kick off.
but we've been pushed later because it's Christmas TV, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what'll be on.
The big Christmas 1991 movie, I mean, I'd presume that, you know, the Robin Hood film not going to be out of cinemas yet.
It's a Wonderful Life will be on, that's normally on, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Uncle Buck, maybe, that's always the family favourite.
I've just read it, I think I've got the Radio Times knocking around, actually, from Christmas 1991 over here in the, we've spoken about it before, the library.
Mm.
You can't see it, obviously, because this is an audio medium, but we've got a shelf full of books.
Some of your VHSs look like books as well, because you've got them in those cases.
Exactly.
That's a really classy touch.
We'll dig it out in a minute, or we'll send the researcher that doesn't work here to go and find Radio Times 1991 and tell us what was on, what is going to be on, sorry, on Christmas Day.
Anyway, on the plus side, all this TV, we're getting loads of money from it.
How much do you get for being on TV these days? I've got no idea.
From the Man United game, we're going to get £145,000.
Oh, wow.
Which isn't bad. The Villa game, because we were the away team, we only got 45 grand from that.
Right.
But 145,000.
I mean, 45 grand's a lot of money, isn't it?
And
for that.
And it's going to sell out anyway, because it's Scum at Home. So that's just free money for us.
Nah, but the rug a lot are not happy, are they? Because the changing in the schedules mean that they're having to change their schedules. There's always a knock-on effect. This is what these TV companies don't think about, isn't it?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Hunslet can get their own stadium and stop messing up our pitch.
Yeah, but they're playing Bramley. Hunslet against Bramley. Big local derby. Been shifted to New Year's Day now, hasn't it? So they're not going out on New Year's Eve.
Bollocks to the rugby.
We have heard more about the stadium developments as well. You know, they've been talking about doing a magnificent New East stand, haven't they? So plans. Have we got plans yet?
Well, we've got... they're putting it out to tender, so it's ready to be built. I can't remember seeing the plans, but four companies are tendering to build it. Maybe they're also going to design it. Couldn't a bit fine if they want to start at the end of the season.
Yeah, you'd have thought they would have this one in the bank by now, wouldn't you, actually, come to think of it?
You would think so. I mean, it was in the newspaper, was this, and I do wonder if it's actually news or whether it's just Bill Fotherby trying to sell some half-season tickets off the back of it, because he's saying, well, they're going to be reduced capacity next season because of this work going on, and if you want a ticket, season ticket holders are going to be a priority. And would you believe it, I've got some for sale just right here. So yes, you can buy a half-season ticket starting with the Spurs game on December the 14th. Pricey though.
How much? Go on, how much are you talking for?
Well, there's no standing tickets available, so you're going to be £195.
Sorry?
In the West Stand.
£200?
For a half-season
For half a season?
Yeah.
12 games?
Yeah. £150 if you want to go in the
bloody hell,
the northeast of the Lowfields.
Steep, isn't it?
What's that per game?
More than £10.
Somewhere between £10 and £20, according to my maths.
Quite a lot, though.
Mind you, they've got rent to pay for because they're opening a new club shop, Burton's Arcade. Have you seen that? That's opening in time for Christmas. Next week or two, it's opening, that December 3rd.
I mean, it's good to see the club trying to grow in as many ways as possible. You do get the feeling Father Bees is there. He's driving a lot of this. Needs the commercial revenues in, doesn't he?
Again, but though you're talking about money being spent on opening shops, the CCTV's been upgraded inside Ellen Road. Spent £125,000 on that. So one, you know, these season tickets are going to pay for that. The new fancy cameras and the new box. Have you seen the box?
Oh, it's hugely impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, we've managed to get a fair grant for this.
Right. Oh, okay.
From the Football Trust, I think it is, that have given us, they've given us like £90,000 of this to put some tellies in so people can't misbehave anymore.
It's the Football League's most advanced police control unit that's been installed.
You'll never sing that, etc.
I do have the TV listings, by the way.
How did you find the Radio Times?
Yeah, I've dug it out. It's
have you circled the ones you're going to watch?
Well, it's not. I haven't found Christmas Day, but the day that our game is on, so Sunday the 29th, we can't kick off at 3 or 2:55 because of ITV's Christmas schedules. So the news is at 1 o'clock. Then at 1:10 is the film Dumbo.
Right. Oh.
So that's on, but it's only an hour and 10 minutes. That so. But the problem is there's another film after that, which is Carry On Spying.
Right.
Starring Kenneth Williams. So that's on from 2:20 to 3:50. So that's why we're not kicking off until 4 o'clock is to accommodate Carry On Spying. 6 o'clock, Bullseye. And then the news at 6:40, Highway with Harry Secombe.
Is there an evening movie on? Because I want to, when we've finished with the game against Man United, I want to come on, keep that great feeling, that happy adrenaline feeling going, and sit down and watch.
This is, so sticking with ITV, who are broadcasting the match, it's a You've Been Framed Christmas special.
Oh, hilarious.
7:15. 7:45 is classic Coronation Street, a trip down memory lane with magic moments from the soap from the last 30 years. Then a bit more news, then Agatha Christie's Poirot, The Theft of the Royal Baby.
Classic.
And 10:05, so well after the watershed, Julie Walters and Friends. Before the Arts Review of the Year with the big Leeds fan Melvin Bragg hosting that at 11:05.
You wonder how many years Melvin Bragg can survive on TV, don't you? It's a bit tedious.
On the other channels, there's a rugby special on BBC Two. Dusk the Badger follows that, a wildlife drama about a badger put at risk by humans.
Have you made that up?
No. There is, it's BBC Two, isn't it? Mephistopheles is being shown, version of the Faust legend. Opera, if you like opera. BBC One, though, on Sunday afternoon.
Come on, big hitters then, big hitters.
Blade Runners with Jane Torvill and Christopher Dean, which is a forgotten
entry. Didn't realise there were replicants.
In the Blade Runner franchise. Before that was Last of the Summer Wine, obviously, although it's a repeat, second taste of last year's seasonal vintage when Foggy comes to the rescue when Barry goes overboard on Christmas Spirit. EastEnders Omnibus at 2, then film The Big Country starring Gregory Peck at 3 o'clock and The Antiques Roadshow.
EastEnders would be Christmas Day, wouldn't it? Sorry, but I forget what it
is. Yes, this
Day,
is the 29th. And then in the evening over there, Auntie's Bloomers.
Excellent.
Terry Wogan with a feast of on-camera calamities, and Miss Marple is up against Poirot.
Oh, Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
Big Detective.
I'm almost sad that we've got a game to watch that day, to be honest.
You skip it.
Well, if you want to stay up late, or if you go to the match and have a few beers afterwards and you get in, so pubs close it. I don't know what time pubs close.
To be honest,
Sunday licensing.
I'm 13 years old.
I don't know why I'm worried about Sunday licensing anyway, because it's a Sunday. That's why.
It's Christmas, and the days all get mixed up around Christmas.
Yeah, and you can just get home pissed and watch the film of Are You Being Served? It'll 11:05.
Oh, wow.
Until the weather comes on at 12:30 and then close down.
Great stuff.
That's something to look forward to, isn't it?
What, close down?
That test card girl. Can't wait to see her.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's get to the game then, and what happened at Elland Road. Well, the lineups against Everton: Lukic, Sterling, Dorigo, Batty, Fairclough, White, Strachan, Wallace, Chapman, McAllister and Speed back in the number 11 shirt after John McClelland occupied it at Villa. Everton lining up with Neville Southall in goal, Martin Keown, Alan Harper, Raymond Atterveld, Matt Jackson, Dave Watson, Mark Ward, John Eberle, Peter Beagrie, Tony Cotty, Peter Beardsley, and you've got Vojica on the bench with Howard Kendall, the boss. You know, we dealt with Jan Stejskal last week. Vojica, are we worried about his communist leanings?
Almost certainly.
Communism's fallen, but it doesn't mean the communists have gone, does it? Bloody hell.
Lech Walesa there on the match. He was against the communists, wasn't he? Maybe this lad's all right.
Yeah, perestroika and all that. Right, the game, not a great one. A game only a mother could love this one. A little bit scrappy. Tough is probably the fairest word to use to describe it.
Well, just a bit of a letdown after the Villa game. I thought we were going to win every game by a few goals and just piss the league. But this is fine too.
We are going to piss the league. It's just they're not all going to be beautiful, are they?
And ruined a bit by a ref as well. Old Tony Ward. Well, described rightly as a London-based official in the YEP, which I think is rightly casting. It's factually correct, but it's just casting a bit of suspicion on him.
Well, it's like,
you know what they're like.
Worse than the communists, aren't they?
The London, the metropolitan elite.
Heavy emphasis when they include that phrase, isn't there? Heavy emphasis.
So what happened in this game then? Let's run through the events at Elland Road today. Chappie having chances, because that's what he does.
Yeah, Neville Southall gifted this one a bit, giving a slice in a goal kick to Mark Ward, who can't really handle having the ball passed to him. So he tries to give it back to Southall, leaves it short and puts Chapman through. But Southall does redeem himself, comes out to block it. And then the yellow cards begin. Although Chris White, in fairness, a good one to take, because Tony Cotty might be through on goal.
Well, we've seen the first beginnings of this professional foul rule, haven't we, these days? So
he just fouls him in time. He's kind of far enough from the goal that the ref doesn't see it as a straight red. But a well taken one, I would say, from Chris White. He's quite canny in knowing what he can and can't get away with.
I mean, this is it with Everton's threat. Tony Cotty is pretty much a good source of goals. They've got Peter Beardsley, who is obviously a great playmaker, playing at centre forward with him, who we have been linked with perpetually. Peter Beagrie.
Confusing having Peter Beagrie and Peter Beardsley in the same side.
Very difficult. That's why Beagrie grew the moustache, so you could tell him apart. But then people started just mistaking him for Robert Vojica, so it backfired. And on the benches, they've signed Mo Johnston. So he's a new player that they don't use in this game, but he's just there, threatening.
Another striker we were linked with at one stage.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost, it's like looking at a version of us. Thankfully, I don't think we've ever been linked with garbage like Martin Keown or Alan Harper in the past. Dave Watson's a good defender, but he's a bit past his sell-by date. And obviously in midfield is where we really stand a better chance, because John Eberle, as we discussed last season, I'm still willing for him to name the place, name the time, and I'll snap him like a
discarded twig.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Dismantle him like a Lego castle.
And if they're signing Mo Johnson for goals from the bench, we've already got John McClellan for that, haven't we? So No need to worry.
But yes, you can see the ref kind of foreshadowing what happens later on. Just being a bit officious, like nagging at Sterland and Batty, and I don't know, just, yeah, I mean, just annoying.
You've got Sterland up against Peter Beagrie, and then Batty's sort of charged with, it's not quite the same marking job that Fairclough did on Tony Daly, but he's following Peter Beardsley around, and the referee won't like that, although he didn't stop Beardsley going clean through when Watson played him in. It's a good save by Lukic, who was already on the ground and managed to...
Flapping about on the ground, he was, but he just gets an arm up to block Beardsley's shot. I mean, it looked like he was just going to tap it in, and then it nearly falls to Cotty as well. But thanks to those rugby bastards messing up our pitch, there is a bad bounce and he can't get to it.
Yeah, and this is all just leading up to half time. Should be mentioned that we are shooting towards the cop again in the first half. Sneaky bastards turned us around again. Don't like it. Not a fan. Into the second half now then, and. We got a lot of corners, big string of corners in this. 5 in 12 minutes feels like quite a lot, but we just couldn't carve anything out of them.
Normally goals, isn't it, corners? Chris White flicks it, Chapman, Sterland, Speed, someone sticks it in the middle, but not this time.
And then Peter Beardsley, is that ever threatening character, isn't he? Particularly when he picks it up and starts running with it, because he did have that chance where he's running down the right, heading towards the cop, cuts inside, but he managed to drag it wide at the far post, which I think a certain amount of relief to that, because he is a very talented footballer.
Yeah, and a handsome man with it.
What's Batty doing, though? He should be keeping a better eye on him than this. It's his man, and he's had two big chances.
Well, we do see some changes in midfield, but it's not Batty. 65 on the clock, and Steve Hodge then comes on for Gary Speed. And it's a few minutes after that that it all starts to go absolutely batshit mental.
Yeah, Fairclough sent off for a clash with Mark Ward, who's not a man I trust, I have to say. Keep an eye on him. I wouldn't believe everything he tells you.
No.
No, that's all I will say. But there's a bit of a clash, and Fairclough is sent off for it. Ward is booked, but no one's entirely clear why Fairclough has been sent off.
I mean, the thing is, the ball is spinning over towards the southeast corner, and he does kind of go round the ball and take the man. So there's something's been said, especially because Ward got booked for his part in this. There's something gone on there, hasn't it, that sparked this off.
But look at Chris Fairclough's face. Is that a man who's done anything wrong?
No.
Look at Mark Ward. Exactly.
Yeah.
You judge who's the worst out of the two.
Yeah, it's not a great tackle by Fairclough, but then the reaction from both players, it's difficult to see why one should get one colour of card and one should get a different one. They've both had a go at each other and not in a massive way.
But you can see Fairclough kind of swings at Ward.
But Ward's kicked at him. So they're both having a go at each other. And that's the thing. Either send them both off, give them both a yellow card, give them both a talking to. I don't think one player has really done anything much worse than the other, apart from, obviously, one is wearing a Leeds United shirt and our London-based official, Mr. Tony Ward, doesn't like that, doesn't care for that kind of thing.
And he's not done yet, is he, with the bookings? Because a minute after this happens, he then books Hodge for this foul on Atterveld.
And then Hodge, after his... total of 6 minutes on the pitch and a yellow card, straight off again.
Subs the sub.
I mean, it's not really Hodge's fault. It's, you can see the reason he's done it, because he needs another centre-back on there to defend, so we get McClelland on for the final 20 minutes.
It is a little bit awkward on Hodge, because he's had quite a stop-start since he came in the summer, scored some goals, but mostly from the bench, and was a little bit injured at the start of the season. So you'd have thought him being an England international and a World Cup competitor with Spurs and Forest on his CV, that he would just march into midfield, knock either Batty or Speed straight out of the way and take his place. Instead, he's in this situation where he's coming on for Speed, because I think Speed's ankle still playing up, the one that kept him out of the Villa game, as well as the tactical changes. And then straight off again 6 minutes later, just because we need to account for this dickhead ref sending off Chris Fairclough for nothing.
Well, we'll deal with the fallout from the ref after we've dealt with the glorious moment that came 3 minutes from time. I mean, there's always that sense when you get down to 10 that the game's gone then, hasn't it? Particularly when you're taking off a midfielder to shore up your defence for the final 20 minutes. But lo and behold, no. What a winner.
One of our other summer signings making his mark.
I mean, but what a finish this as well. Huge credit to Wallace for getting on the end of this. So we've got a corner.
Rodney, not Ray. We should stress this in case anybody missed the line.
Where is Ray?
He'll be around.
Or Danny, for that matter. No, he's not there either.
Danny's at Old Trafford. We know about him. We don't talk about Danny so much, but Ray will be, he'll have been clapping when this went in.
Well done. I'm glad we signed him then.
Well done, Twinsy.
Well, Strack gets a corner in the southwest corner, and as you were sort of saying, Michael, about the flick-ons, white at the near post, you know, we've seen that a lot. It's a tactic. It's a tactic that's fruitful for us. It's
too low, though.
You think?
It's to his foot this time.
Oh,
so,
damn.
But he gives it back to Strachan, who then does like a big up and under, if we keep him with rugby references. It's very high into the box.
It's a skillful, calculated chip.
Well, maybe it is. I mean, it works.
Speculative punt, skillful chip, they all count, don't they?
It's just a delicate pass.
It draws out Neville Southall, which is the main thing. He comes to try and punch it
like
clear.
Like a chip butty.
And you also, one thing to...
a pint of bitter.
Quite apart from the finish, have you seen the number of men they've got on the line that Wallace actually manages to beat? So there's the... Chapman obviously beats Southall to the ball. Southall's kind of nowhere there, isn't he? I mean, I'm surprised you don't get a free kick for fouling the keepers these days. But he didn't do anything, did he? Southall just came out, flapped it. Chappie manages to get a head on it, sort of back of his head, loops up in the air, and then Wallace is at the far post. And do his feet go higher than his head, you think, in this manoeuvre? I think it's a brilliant finish.
It's strange. It's not, you wouldn't describe it as an overhead kick, but the ball was over his head when he kicked it.
Yeah. It was a sideways
it's
head.
It's the kind of thing only a 5'6" player would really ever have to pull off.
He keeps scoring these goals that we struggle to describe. The one the other week, we were like, he sort of gets his knees and shins and both legs onto it at the same time and tackles it in. This is much more athletic.
It's brilliant. And he beats, there's four men on the line for Everton. Four men, including one at the near post. And he manages to get it over his head.
You know how he did that?
How?
Kicked it really hard right into the roof of the net.
It's going to work, isn't it? And that huge, palpable sense of relief inside Elland Road, because it's a goal at 87 minutes. You know pretty much the game is won. We've had all the attritional stuff that's happened throughout the game. The picky referee, the red card, we're down to 10. You think the game's gone. And lo and behold, 3 points. And what a 3 points.
It's one of those that you do think maybe we might win the league here. Because it's not 3 points you expect to get at the stage of Fair Club being sent off. So it's sort of looking like it might be going well.
Well, we'll get to the results on the league table in just a second, but let's deal with that red card first of all. Was it or wasn't it? Wilco didn't think so.
It seemed innocuous to me, he said, laughing. Fairclough fouled Ward, who retaliated, and Fairclough reacted to that.
Tit for tat.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. Let them book them both, get on with the game.
But Chris Fairclough himself seems to be undermining this whole position because he admits that he fouled him, which to be fair, you couldn't really avoid that fact because you can clearly see on the replays that he chops away at his legs.
And also he does then say, you know, he kicked out me and I just pushed him over. Which, I mean, you can sort of get away with pushing people over, can't you?
We need to wait for the referee's report, though, and find out what he's actually sent him off for, because if it's
he'll just make up a reason, Moscow.
If it's the foul, it's one thing. If it's for pushing Ward over, it's another. And then we need to know what Ward was booked for as well. So we need to see what the referee says about it, and we need to know how long Fairclough will be suspended for as well. I don't know if it'll be one game, if it'll be three games, hopefully just a one game ban or something.
The London based FA will no doubt.
Well, this is what we have to
treat us fairly.
Deal with.
As you were saying there, Michael, actually, Wilco echoes your remarks there, saying after Chris Fairclough was sent off, it's a real test of character, but we kept going under the circumstances and a great result for us. I had been saying all week since our victory at Villa Park that staying with the pace at the top is often as much to do with your character as your ability. So yeah, we dug it out is the long and short of that one.
Yeah, that's a very Wilco reaction to what was a stunning 4-1 win in front of everybody on TV. Just downplay it and say, well, to say, you know, that's one thing. But I think he's right that a game like the Villa game doesn't come along every week, which is why when it does happen, everybody's so excited about it. Games like this against Everton happen much more often. And Everton were on a good run of form coming into this. They'd not been knocked around very easily at all.
Although they were just up a mid-table though going into it, weren't they? They're sort of 10th at the end of this one with 25 points. So they're doing all right, but they're not.
Yeah, but they've not been... they'd won the three previous games before this without conceding a goal. So they were in form. I think we found that coming into it with only being able to get that one goal at the end. So although David Batty's own view, somebody suggested to him that we were fortunate to win, and he said we weren't lucky. We came through with our work, a delicate Gordon Strachan chip and a well taken goal. We showed our character to win with 10 men. So that's David Batty's assessment, and you're not going to argue with him.
I like to think of as well the Man United fans away at Crystal Palace. Maybe someone's got a radio. Oh, Leeds are down to 10. They're like, yes, get in,
because they're winning 3-1 on this day as well.
And then the news has to filter through that we've grabbed a late winner.
Great stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Just to ruin their journey back from London to the rest of London. Well, from a different bit of London.
Croydon to the other part, yeah. Right, so we've got Chelsea 1, Forest 0, Coventry 2-0 against Southampton. Palace 1, Man United 3, as we said, which keeps them right on our coattails. We beat Everton 1-0. Liverpool beat Norwich 2-1. 0-0, Man City, Wimbledon. Notts County 0, QPR 1. Oldham 3, Villa 2. Sheffield United 1-1 with Luton in the basement clash. West Ham 1, Sheffield Wednesday 2. And the Sunday game, Arsenal 2, Spurs 0. Leaves us top of the league. Now with equal joint top goal difference with Man United, which I think is significant given that they were well out in front on that front before the Villa game, obviously really helped us. And another goal in the plus column today.
We're marching on together again. United we stand, the best team in the land.
We are number one, officially the best team in the land. So we've played 18 with 39 points. Man United have played 17 with 38 points. But then down in third, you've got Man City played 18 with 31. So 8-point gap to third now. Just below that, you've got Arsenal, Wednesday, Villa, Palace, Norwich, Liverpool, Everton, the top 10 in the division. Luton still bottom with Southampton, Sheffield United, QPR, Notts County, West Ham, Wimbledon down towards the bottom. Spurs still haven't recovered from their lack of games. They're still knocking about 15th, which is fun, isn't it? Oldham are above them. And we're not done with Everton yet. We've got to go there through the week in just a few days' time.
Yeah, we might as well play them again.
Yeah, beating them once. Should we do it again in the League Cup fourth round?
Yes, let's.
Sounds like a plan. Hey, looking down the fixtures as we head in towards Christmas, we've got Luton, Spurs, Forest and Southampton all on the way before the end of the year. Some winnable games in there. And we are in a good form. We haven't lost in, what is it, about 6 games or something like that now.
I mean, Luton are complete shit. We're going to beat them about 10-0.
You think so?
Easy.
We are, you know, we're doing all right. I'm just having a look at the results here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins in 7 we've had in the league. Now, only drop points at Wimbledon away.
It's championship form.
It's looking good, isn't it?
I'm kind of is.
Afraid to say it. Well, we'll bring you what happens at Goodison Park when we nip over there for the League Cup fourth round game when we do Luton on December the 7th. We'll reconvene then. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.